Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pula, and my guest today is Darius Shannon Farr. And Darius is the treasurer in the city of Albany, and he's here to talk about issues regarding the city and the race for citywide races. So, Darius, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, we were just mentioning about Mike's son. How old are your kids now?
They are almost 9 and 11. 8 and 10 right now for another couple of months. Fifth grade and third grade.
Oh, my God, 11. Wow. I remember when your daughter was just, born. It goes by so quickly, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does.
So, you know, we're in the midst of a heated race for a number of citywide and also ward positions. So let's start off. I'd like to ask you, a lot of people I don't think know this or are unaware of it. What are the functions and responsibilities of the city treasurer?
Well, I'm the CFO of the city of Albany, so I'm responsible for watching all the money come into the city and watching all the money go out. Last year we had more coming in than going out, which was a good thing, but for the last few years we've had more going out than coming in. I'm also responsible for handling the bonding for the city of Albany, the borrowing for the city of Albany, parking ticket violations. And that's you know, really the what my responsibilities are at the city of Albany. I work on economic development for the city of Albany. As I sit on the business improvement district boards as well as the IDA.
You just mentioned the traffic fines. You know, there's an outstanding number, or when the mayor became mayor, there was an outstanding number of fines. Have they all been collected? And as far as traffic fines, is everything up to date right now?
Well, we are up to date. You know, we collect the parking ticket revenue for the city in our office. Fines on the parking ticket side, we actually do extremely well at the city of Albany. We have an over 90% collection rate, which is very high compared to other municipalities. We do have a large receivable on tickets going back to 2010, but we've taken some measures over the last couple years to increase collections on that receivable. So we did food for fines a couple years ago, which you may remember, where we had a amnesty on late fees and late fines on parking tickets. In return for people coming in and bringing in food to donate to the regional food pantries. So we knocked off about 5,000 tickets off the books, about $300,000 we raised for the city. And that was also a precursor to going out to collections on the outstanding parking tickets, which is something the city had never done. And in doing that, we raised approximately over $400,000 in older parking tickets that the collection agency has gotten for us. So that's about $700,000 that we didn't have before a couple years ago. As far as other fines and fees, we're always working on it. And we, for those who don't pay, we have ways to get payment either through rolling over some certain fees onto people's or bills onto people's tax bills, or going to collections and other agencies and other departments. So we're doing as good a job as we can do to get people to pay up their fines and the fees that they're that are owed.
One of the things that I had asked the mayor when I interviewed her a few weeks ago was municipal internet as a way to spur economic development. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I think it's something that's very important for the city of Albany, and that'd be something that we certainly want to see, and something they've been working on, I think, over the last few years. The issue for us as a municipality that doesn't have a heck of a lot of money, is how to get that funded and paid for. And that's something that they've been working on. And, you know, we hope that's something that comes to fruition in the future for the city of Albany, because I think it really will help Albany make the transition into a real fully 21st century city. And it's important, I think, for the city, not just for businesses who are, I think, would be a primary user of municipal Internet services, but also for our residents, because having access to the Internet and having access to the World Wide Web is something that's more and more important every day. And if you don't have access because of the cost barriers to Internet usage, you fall further and further behind. And we need to make sure that our citizens in the city aren't falling behind and have access to everything that that everybody does.
Are you in contact with other municipalities that have municipal internet? Are there a lot?
I'm not sure myself. It's not something that it's not an issue that I work on a day-to-day basis. There are some other municipalities, I believe, largely in the West Coast, but I'm not really entirely sure myself. I personally am in contact with the municipalities in our area on issues of tax collection and you know, parking ticket violations and things like that. I think I didn't mention that I am also the tax collector for the city of Albany. So we do property tax bills as well for the city.
Oh, so the Beatles wrote a song about you.
They did. I am the tax man.
There's been reports, you know, I've seen newspaper articles about illegal exemptions in the city of Albany. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I wouldn't necessarily call them illegal exemptions, but what appears to have happened, I'll do a deeper dive here. The city has a lot of tax exemption programs and tax abatement programs for residents and businesses in the city of Albany. For example, there's veterans exemptions, there's seniors exemptions, there's disabled persons exemptions. A lot of those are income-based exemptions. And a lot of businesses, for homeowners too, you can get an exemption for the value of the improvement of your property. So if you add on another big room in your house or expand your house and that adds value to your home, you can get an exemption through the tax assessor's office. Similarly, for a larger scale development, we have exemptions through the IDA or through other programs at the city, where it's essentially the same idea as what I just described for homeowners, where if you buy property and then you improve the property, your taxes can be abated for the value of the improvement of the property. Now, that means that every property that goes through the IDA and goes through the programs that we have at the city, 485A and 485B, the city takes in as a pilot or as an actual tax the value of the property before it was improved. That's always there. And then as the years go by, the city adds 10%, 20%, 30%, 40% of the value of the improvement to your tax bill. So let's say you had a property that was worth $1 million, you improved it, and now it's worth $10 million. Well, the first year you're taxed on $1 million, the next year you're taxed on $2 million, and $3 million, then the next year $3 million, $4 million, and so on. Now that's a rough picture, but it's a helpful way to illustrate it. The issue that we had in the city had to do with the 485A program, which had to do with exemptions for properties in the city that had been redeveloped into mixed use, commercial and residential. And from everything that we've seen thus far that's been reported, and the city is taking a deeper look into it, is that there are a few properties that were not mixed use, that they were just commercial or just residential, I should say, that received the 485A tax abatement. The assessor seems to have, he's taken responsibility, or he's saying that he made some mistake. We're trying to, again, evaluate the extent of what happened. And it was due to a legal misinterpretation on his part. So that is what has been in the papers the last couple of days. But I think it's really important to remember for everybody that none of these projects ever would have gotten off the ground without a tax exemption. So the notion that the city lost out on anything and any money and the Times Union incorrectly reported millions and millions of dollars is really false. Because, again, without abatements, these projects in the city of Albany just don't happen because our tax structure is so out of whack because of the large number of tax-exempt properties that are mostly state meds and eds, medical facilities and educational facilities, which leave 60-plus percent of our property tax exempt, thus putting a greater burden on businesses and homeowners that are not. So that's a long way of... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's a long way of saying that there seemed to be one building of condos and anywhere from 3 to 8 other properties that may have received an exemption under 485A that they may not have been entitled to. Again, we're looking into that to see what the case is. But that doesn't mean that they were not eligible for other tax abatement programs or that these projects ever would have gotten off the ground in the first place without the tax abatement. So they have not cost the city any money. They all, if not now, will pay the city more money in taxes or pilots down the road. So it's, it's a little bit unfortunate, to say the least, that mistakes are made, but mistakes do happen. But it's wrong to say that the taxpayers are the ones who really took the hit on this.
Now, the everyone knows that there's a deficit in the city of Albany, and
yep.
one of the things is that the plaza gets money from the state every year. Why isn't the same thing done with the Harriman campus? That would go a long way in lessening the deficit, but there's been no initiative to get money from the state.
No, that's not true, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that would solve the problem, and we've been trying to bring that facts, logic, and reason to the state for many, many years. Actually, Mayor Jennings was successful, believe it or not, in getting a pilot on the Harriman campus as a payment in lieu of taxes. I think it was 2008, but then it was vetoed by Governor Patterson at the time because he felt the state couldn't afford it as we'd gone to the Great Recession at that point. However, the city and the mayor, and we have always advocated that the easiest thing to do is for the state to essentially add the Harriman campus to the 19A program. And the 19A program is the pilot that we get on the Empire State Plaza. That would be by far the easiest thing to do. And were that pilot to be in the $12.5 to $15 million range, that would be enough to solve most of the fiscal issues that we have in the city. If they were to provide a more meaningful pilot over there, like say a $30 million pilot, that would allow us to really cut taxes in the city in a meaningful way to the point where programs like the tax incentives and the tax abatement programs would no longer be needed, development would occur naturally here. So it's factually incorrect to say that there's no initiative in trying to get the state to get a pilot for the Harriman campus, but we have no leverage to tell the state that that's what they have to do. What we have been doing at the city, and what the mayor has been very, very good at, is really being quite open, honest, and clean on our finances. So the state has reviewed our finances twice now and knows exactly what the situation is and what the where our costs are, where our revenues come from, what can be done on the revenue side. They made some suggestions, and many of those we're already implementing. Other ones, some are good suggestions, some are not workable suggestions, but it is a constant effort on the part of the city both to see what we can do to gain a Harriman campus pilot, but also to work to show the state that we're doing everything that we can do. We've reached the limits of what we're able to do, and the state really needs to pick up its its duties, I think, in respect to city finances. And the state realized that certainly this year when they provided a $12.5 million payment that was not a spin-up payment. That was not the spin-up payment is taken off the back end of what's owed to us on the Empire State Plaza pilot. So it's essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul today. But this past year, we received a $12.5 million payment from the state directly with no strings attached, and that's a first for the city. And frankly, I think the city has not gotten nearly enough credit for that because it took a lot of work to get the state to understand it, and they do right now, and we're working together to improve our situation.
There was recently a PFM report that spelled out the fact that the deficit will grow from 12.5 to 23 million. What is the cause of the increase in the deficit?
Well, that's not necessarily that's kind of been misreported, and I think Mr. Commisso seems to like to keep saying that we have a $23 million. That's if nothing happens or nothing changes. And I think the one of the biggest issues we have down the road is our landfill and what we're going to do with that. And so that is a looming issue that the city has been working on, and I think is working on more in earnest at this point to see what we do. We've already extended the life of the landfill by 2 or 3 years. We've already started to reduce the inflow of waste into the landfill, which has extended the life of the landfill thus far. We are toning down our revenue expectations on the landfill from a budgetary standpoint, where the city used to rely heavily on payments from companies that are coming into the landfill to dump their trash. We're not as reliant on that anymore, and the budget numbers have started to come down. However, that being said, because we're taking less garbage from large waste haulers, we're taking more from smaller waste haulers, and our tipping fees, which is what they pay us to dump off trash in the city, have gone up by almost 50%, I believe, over the last couple of years. So we're actually taking in less trash, but making more money off the trash that we're bringing into the city. That being said, that's enough to stave off the problem for thus far 2 or 3 more years. Hopefully, we can get another couple of years out of that. But it still doesn't answer the long-term question of what are we going to do when the landfill is full, when we have to close down, and we have to deal with what's expected to be about a $5 million cost every year going forward to haul our trash elsewhere. And if we keep the – if we there's also fixed costs that we have at the landfill, and the longer we have the landfill open, the longer we're going to incur those fixed costs as well, because we still have to have people out there to work the landfill. We have to have equipment out there that works to deal with all the waste. So, you know, we've been able to budget for that right now going through 2022-23. But after that, you know, we have to deal with what would come off the backside if we're going to, say, for example, not take in commercial waste anymore. Well, that's, you know, $8 million of revenue at least out the window. Plus, we still have all the costs of running the landfill out there, which I believe are in the $5 million range, but I'm not sure precisely that's the figure, but it's about $5 million, I believe.
It seems that the race for mayor is pretty contentious. And if nobody's got a crystal ball and nobody could foresee into the future and say, this is definitively what will happen, you will be reelected, the mayor will be reelected, et cetera. So there's so many variables in question right now. Let's say on election night, on primary night, that you win and that Frank Commisso wins.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have difficulty working with Frank Commisso Jr.?
Well, you know, we'll see what happens when that day comes. I will have difficulty working with anyone who lies to the public about how the city works. I will have difficulty working with anyone who presents false statements and misinformation to the electorate of the city of Albany, to the taxpayers of the city of Albany. I have difficulty working with people who won't work well and won't play well with others. Any mayor like that, I will have difficulty working with.
So it's going to be a very interesting summer, and it's going to be a very interesting election. Now, do you have a primary, Darius?
Well, Mr. Commisso was trying to get somebody to run against me. Mr. Commisso Sr. and Mr. Commisso Jr. were trying to get somebody to run against me. That lasted about 6 weeks. And I'm not aware of anyone carrying petitions for treasurer right now, so it looks like I'm the only one who has petitions for the treasurer seat. But you never know. And then there's the November election, so we'll cross mm-hmm. that bridge when we get to it.
Okay, Darius, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I hope between now and the primary, maybe we could talk again and maybe going into the general. So you've
whenever
been
you
listening
want.
To Darius, I forgot to ask you if anybody is interested in contacting you, either as your role as treasurer or
yep.
In your capacity as a candidate. How can they reach you?
My email address for the city is dshahinfar, dshahinfar@albanyny.gov. And my office phone is 518-434-5009. And my personal cell phone, which I use contact from people, is 928-1374.
Darius, thank you. Have a great day, and I hope it doesn't rain as you campaign door-to-door.
That's kind of fun
you've
that
been
way.
So you've been listening to Darius Shahinfar. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. But most important, I hope everyone is aware of the new radio station in Albany, and it's WCAA 107.3. And if you want to join, be part of the family or listen, it's we do meetings every Tuesday night on Grand Street at 6 o'clock. So, Darius, you have a great day. Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for listening.